God is good. And all the time. And we also know that God has called us through His Son with three commands: to love Him, love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that we understand that the fullness of the Scriptures from the Old Testament to the last period at the book of Revelation is summed up. And in that we trust ourselves, because the Word of God is the full authority unto life for every living being on the planet. Can I get an amen, church? And in that we give ourselves, that we may be found faithful. So to that, may we turn our hearts this day as we continue in the book of Mark, looking at the big idea that is presented here to us. And today the sermon is entitled Forgiveness, Healing, and Fellowship. Now that sounds like a three-point sermon, doesn't it? Well, the reality is I'm just simply giving you what's there. And there's two sections, and I'm going to talk about each section and look at what he's telling us in the reality of where we are in the scope of who he is. So, turning in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, we read these words. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathering together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. When I think about the big picture here, what is the word trying to teach us? Now please remember, the book of Mark was written with the idea that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. It is showing us that Jesus is this one who is to come, that he is the Christ. But Jesus here is teaching us some very basic things, not only about who he is as the Christ, but how the kingdom works. So we need to look at this on a very large scale. I want to spread it out wide and shallow. I don't want to go deep. What I want us to see is Jesus is telling us here that the first thing we need to seek is what? Forgiveness, not healing. We have to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness of what? Our transgressions. We need to remember, in order to come to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the first thing we need to do is repent. We have to repent. We have to see ourselves for who we are and what we are. We want the healing, but we don't want to change. Jesus says, no, you've got to be changed first. Then the healing comes. Hence, forgiveness and healing. It's understanding that there is a progression that these things have to come into. And as we are walking with the Lord, the greatest thing that we need to seek is His forgiveness. And I think it's amazing, because when the scribes who were there looked at this and they said, "What is this man doing? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Well, no kidding. God was sitting right there in front of them. They just didn't realize it. But we in Christ do realize it. We understand it. We know it. Because it is only through that recognition and acceptance thereof that we find forgiveness. Can I get an amen, church? Because we have repented. Because we recognize what He has done for us. And for the world out there, for those people out there who don't know Jesus, it's bringing them to that very first place. It's understanding that forgiveness has to come first. Don't come for healing unless you're ready to receive forgiveness. That means you got to seek forgiveness, doesn't it? It's not just granted. You have to come with the ability to see your own shortcomings. This gentleman had no way of getting in. His friends literally dug out the roof to bring him before the Christ. How many of us are willing to go to such great extremes to find that which is missing in our lives? You know, I think it's amazing because the world goes to those extremes. Think about the money people spend trying to find that thing that will set them free, that will give them that wonderful feeling, and here we go with the feelings again, that they can finally do and be and achieve and la da 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 da. Folks, it's not a feeling, it's a reality, and it's called salvation. Can I get an amen from the church? Because until we have salvation, we have no freedom. We are slaves to this flesh. We are slaves to sin. We are slaves to the depravity that is around us. But when we receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the healing comes. Now, does that mean, because here He used physical healing, but what was the healing Jesus is actually showing us here? It is the healing of our souls. This relationship between us and God has now been restored. We are once again coming into the image of Christ through progressive sanctification, and it begins with forgiveness, and then comes healing. And how many of us are still in the healing process? Amen. Because we still have issues that we need to deal with. Can I get an amen out of the church? We don't like to amen that one, but it's the truth, isn't it? And that's the thing I love about our church. We don't profess to be perfect. In fact, we profess to be hypocrites because we're walking in this thing broken. I think it's amazing. The church produces all these wonderful people that are completely whole and holy, and they walk out that door, and you can't tell them apart from the rest of the world. Well, when we walk out the door, I hope there's something different. And I pray that that difference is we know we're broken. Can I get an amen? But we are not afraid to proclaim the name that is above every name, the name at which we have received forgiveness. And we are in that progressive sanctification, working towards healing. And we have that healing to offer others. But it begins with healing a relationship. What is that relationship? The relationship between us and God. And I'm talking the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because you can't have one without all three. And when you get the one, and that's the Son, you get the other two. And what a blessing it is. Can you see the song in the sermon? What a wonderful name it is. Because without that name, we have no hope. But His name and all it represents is our hope. And it is sure. It's not something that we can have to sit around and wonder about. You know, I hope that things are going to go good tomorrow. Are they going to? I have no idea. But my eternity is sure in Jesus Christ. My hope is not a guessing. My hope is that surety. I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I have trusted Him unto the fullness thereof, and He is bringing that healing in my being. And from that healing, then, comes the next part of our sermon. But I don't want us to just look at this with dilly-dally reality, because how full was the healing that this man received? And that's one of the things that we need to understand. This man was able to get up and carry his mat and walk out. What does that mean? He was able to get up, take his junk, and go away. and that junk had no more control over him. He was stuck on that bed. How many of us are stuck on our sin? We need to remember that man was able to get up. He's now able to command this thing and go. You and I are in that same place. When we receive that healing, you can say no to sin. You can cast it out. You can get rid of it. But how many of us keep picking it back up? And then it takes control again. We need to remember, once Jesus has spoken it, it's done. It's a done deal. This guy didn't go back onto his bed. This gentleman left and that was it. We need to remember, once the forgiveness comes, once the healing begins, it's done. It's a done deal. There's no more unless you invite it back in. And then be warned, because the scripture does tell us that if we do invite it back in, remember what it says? Seven times more is going to come back in than what was there before. So we need to be careful about what we do and where we go and the things that we bring into our lives, because you can invite a whole lot of trouble. And how many of us keep inviting trouble? There's no hands in the air, so I know they're all lying. But as we walk this life, it's to remember your forgiveness leads to healing. And that healing is the relationship, which leads us to the second part. And I love this. Turn back in your Bibles. We're going to start in verse 14. Because this is the calling of Levi. And this is really kind of cool when you think about the depth of it. But again, we're spreading this thing out. We're going to get it thin because I want to see what he's talking about on the upfront here. He says from verse 14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So as long as the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from it and the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine in old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost in the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. I want us to understand the depth or the width of this thing. Okay, I'm not going to dig deep, but I'm going to look at what he's telling us. He is telling us this, that once we have that relationship, Levi made up his mind to follow Christ. Is that not what we just read? He called him, said, follow me. He got up and followed him, which means he walked into the forgiveness and the healing. Did this sinner need the forgiveness and the healing? Yes, he did. Why? Because he was a tax collector. He was a liar and a thief. Because all tax collectors collected more money than they were supposed to collect, because that's how they made their living. And all of a sudden, he's eating with these miserable people that the righteous folks didn't want to have anything to do with. Excuse me? Why are the righteous sent out into the world? To separate themselves? To emulate themselves? No. We are called to win others to Christ. Can I get an amen, church? We are called to be priests unto the world, a holy nation, chosen by God through a birthright that none of us have, but every one of us has been adopted into through Jesus Christ. And as we come unto that birthright, all of a sudden we begin to see that Jesus is here to heal sinners. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Pharisees that were there were some of the biggest sinners. But they didn't see themselves for who they were, because they neither sought forgiveness nor healing, because they thought they had something because of their position. How much of this world thinks it has something because of its position? Where we position ourselves in the world. I'm going to tell you right now, I have nothing because I stand on this stage. I have only one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen from the church? And we all stand at the foot of that cross. But we need to remember, that cross is empty. He's not on it anymore. He's in heaven, he's in glory, and he's up there doing the work that he was sent to do. And he has accomplished it here on this earth. And now his work is to pray for all the saints and to get ready for his dad to say, "Go get her, son." And that's us here on earth. And we need to be ready. We need to be the five wise virgins that are out there doing the work, being ready, watchful, and alert unto the hour and the day. And I'm telling you, dear brothers and sisters, you cannot be alert. Look at these Pharisees, these religious people had no idea. Why? Because they had no relationship. You only have fellowship with God after you receive forgiveness, after you receive healing. All of a sudden, the fullness of Jesus Christ is at your avail. And we walk therein. Can I get an amen and an hallelujah? Because I'm telling you right now, that's where life becomes worth living. That's where we begin to receive the abundant life. That's where we begin to see, in the midst of all the briars and brambles of life, in the midst of all this curse, there are roses at the tops of those thorns. But so many of us have our head under the bushes, all we see are the thorns. And we try our best to make something happen, when all the while, up in the top, in the light, the roses are blooming. But we're so far down in this stuff because we've not walked into the forgiveness and the healing that we don't see the bounty and blessing above it all. And that bounty and blessing comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. I love here how he says you don't put old wine in new wineskins. You put new wine in new wineskins. Why? Well, you can put old wine in old wineskins, but then they're going to shrink and you're never going to be able to use them for new wine. Because new wine, what happens to new wine? Does anybody know? New wine ferments, so it expands. Okay? It expands. And as it expands, it's got to be able to give. How many of us are new wine? When you're in Christ Jesus, there's a lot of new wine, because we are expanding. We are growing. We're getting off this stuff that's in us, because we need to remember, when the new wine comes in, it's got a lot of work that has to happen, because new wine tastes nasty. Okay? Going to tell you a story. This just happened. I was down to shore. I took some wine that I made 11 years ago. And it was nasty. It was so bad, I put it down in the basement, hid it in a corner. I didn't even mark the bottles. It was dandelion wine. I figured I'll use it for cooking, because how many of you use white wine for cooking? Okay? I'll use it for cooking. It'll take the flavor away, but it'll have that, you know, it'll be good. 11 years it has sat down there. My son come to me a couple months ago, and he says, "Dad, taste this wine. And tell me what it is." I tasted this wine, and I said, "Son, that is awesome. What is that?" He said, "You remember that wine you made 11 years ago that was so nasty, you put it away and just kind of..." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." So I took a bottle to the shore, and we had wine for dinner, and it was the best wine I've ever made. It took 11 years to get there. How long is it going to take you? How long is it going to... Sometimes that new wine has to sit for a little while to mellow, Can I get an amen, church? To grow and to age and to mature. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may be 65, you may be 70, you may be 104. God don't care. In Him, you might be 3. And you can be 3 and be 300 in Him. Now, y'all know that ain't true, but you get my point. Because God's not a respecter of age. God is a respecter of our position. Have we come to Him to find that forgiveness, to walk in the healing? The relationship then begins to grow. And all of a sudden, from new wine, we become that aged, mature wine. And all of a sudden, we start to make sense. How many of us, when we first come to Jesus Christ as Christians, were legalists? Thus saith the Lord. But we don't take the full counsel into consideration, do we? Where is grace and mercy? You hold to the letter of the law, but you forget the spirit thereof. Oh my goodness, oh my mercy. The Pharisees had no idea what they were talking about because they were the old wine and Jesus was making new wine. And they just did not realize that this new wine was going to be far better than any of the old wine that was made before. It may take a little time, but it's coming. And as it comes to its fullness, it will be some of the best stuff you've ever had in life. And I'm telling you right now, why is that? Because this new wine lasts unto eternity. Can I get an amen? And we will be the goodness thereof. For we are the fruit of God's vine. The vine represents who? Israel. And as we have been grafted into that vine, the fruit thereof is precious unto Him. And that fruit is our lives, yielded out, trampled down. And please remember, to make wine, you've got to squeeze some grapes, right? You know, it's like making eggs. If you want to make an omelet, you can't just lay the egg in the shell in the pan. It don't work. You got to crack the egg. And then you got to scramble that sucker. But the outcome is something we all love, especially with a few mushrooms and cheese. Maybe some ham, you know, whatever you want to put on top of it. But God's the one who brings it all together. So today I want you to understand, this is where I'm at. This is where we are. We need to walk in that forgiveness. We need to call out to the Lord every day. Keep short accounts. Keep short accounts, receive the healing, and then gain the fellowship with Him and see what God will do. He will dine with you, sinners. He will come and sup with you, sinners. He will fellowship with you and change you all the more unto His glory and in His name. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the truth of Your word. For we know that as we turn ourselves to You and we seek forgiveness, we will receive healing, and then comes the fellowship. But Lord, in it, may You be glorified in all, because it's not about us. It's truly about You when we yield ourselves, that You would be glorified, that Your name would be our hope, and that Your hope is our life, that we would truly be changed now and forever. In the name of He who is our Christ, and the church says, and amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.